Our second reading today is taken from the first letter of Peter, reading from chapter 2, verses 11 to 16. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's servants. Amen. So after the game last night, the Toronto Maple Leafs are still alive in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and hope has returned to Leaf Nation. It's quite remarkable, really, that something called Leaf Nation actually exists. But at this time of year in particular, there is no doubt it is among us. Most of the time, you don't notice it. But it becomes very visible on game days when its members suddenly appear in public wearing blue and white. If you talk to these people, you'll quickly see that they have an undying devotion to their team. And you'll notice that they use the word we a lot, as in we are going to win or we are going all the way. This kind of allegiance to a sports team seems largely harmless, but it can take on quite a different tone when it encounters fans of an opposing team. These other fans aren't just supporters of a competitor, they belong to a completely different nation. When I was in high school, my friend Ian got tickets for a hockey game in Buffalo, which was actually not that far from where we lived. He offered me one of the tickets, and we went along to the old Memorial Auditorium in Buffalo, even though neither of us were Buffalo Sabres fans. We were, of course, Leaf fans. The Leafs weren't even playing in this game. The opposing team was the New York Islanders. There were around 16,000 rabid Sabres fans in the arena. But we weren't the least bit interested in cheering for the home team. Ian made the brave decision to cheer for the New York Islanders, which kind of drew attention to himself. In fact, he stood out so much in that crowd of Sabres fans that someone quite a few rows above us, in the upper deck, in fact, started to throw peanuts at him. These peanuts, still in their shells, started to land all around us. This was not enough to prompt Ian to change his allegiance to the Sabres Nation, but it did underline the point that he was completely out of step with everyone around him. When the Apostle Peter wrote to the Gentile Christians of Asia Minor, he was writing to people who were out of step with everyone around them. In fact, they stood out so starkly from their neighbors that Peter called them aliens and strangers. That sounds like an odd thing for Peter to say, but he was making an important point. He was saying to these Christians that it was like they belonged to a completely different nation. It wasn't that they had literally come from another part of the world. It wasn't even that they looked any different from their neighbors. They didn't dress differently. They didn't speak a different language. They had been born and raised in a thoroughly Roman society. It was in that society that they worked for a living and provided for their families. But, Peter said, they were different. They were not like everyone else. They were aliens and strangers. The word alien to our ears sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. But what it literally means is a person who belongs to a foreign country or nation. In the United States, they have a legal term for persons who are citizens of another country but living in the U.S. They call them resident aliens. These resident aliens are allowed to live in the United States, but they are not Americans. Their citizenship belongs elsewhere. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, he told them that they were different from the people around them. That difference could be described as a difference in citizenship. We live here, but our citizenship, Paul said, is in heaven. In other words, we belong to a different nation, not a nation defined by language or culture or national borders. We belong to the nation that is centered in heaven. We belong to the nation that has been created by God. We spend so much of our lives, especially during our younger years, just trying to fit in. We don't like the idea of standing out, except perhaps for those things that other people praise. Most of the time, we just want to blend in. We just want to be accepted by the world around us. But as Christians, our path takes another route. God calls us to live as aliens and strangers in the world. God doesn't call us to blend in. God calls us to be different. That shouldn't be such a surprise to us. It's exactly the pattern that Jesus himself followed. Jesus himself was like an alien and a stranger. He was certainly a stranger among his own people. Even in his hometown, Jesus was treated like a stranger, like someone who didn't belong there. When he went back to Nazareth and preached in the synagogue there, his own people took offense at him. He said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." The people got so mad, they tried to kill him. And this wasn't just a one-time event. It was a pattern that continued throughout Jesus' life. He was always an outsider, always someone who just didn't fit in. And in the end, he was rejected completely by his people, who finally did manage to have him killed. If Jesus was an alien and a stranger in the world, with his true home in another place, then his followers can hardly expect to be anything different. As followers of Jesus, we are resident aliens. We live in the world, but our citizenship is in heaven. In the area north of Waterloo, and in some other parts of Ontario as well, you will often see people in plain dress traveling the roads by horse and buggy. These are the Old Order Mennonites, who make a point of living in ways that show they are different. They dress differently, they speak a different language, an old form of German. They don't drive cars, they don't connect to the electrical grid. To a large extent, they live exactly the same way as their ancestors did 400 years ago. Not all Mennonites are Old Order. Many Mennonites actually look a lot like modern Baptists. Theologically, we are cousins. But we Baptists have not gone the old order Mennonite route of separating ourselves as much as possible from the world around us. We don't believe that being aliens and strangers in the world means that we have to keep ourselves separate from the world. In this regard, we take the Christians of the early church as our examples. The Christians the apostles Peter and Paul were writing to did not live in communities that were separated from the rest of their society. In their daily lives, they mixed together with everyone else, Christian and non-Christian alike. While they made a point of regularly stepping out of the world to worship God and learn about Jesus, they didn't see themselves as isolated from the world. And when they went out into the world, there was nothing about the way they looked to suggest they were different. They didn't dress in a different manner or use a different language. But there was one important way in which they were different. They were different in how they acted. They were different in the values they lived by. They lived by the values of the kingdom of God rather than by the values of Roman society. Peter reminded the Christians he was writing to that they ought to live in ways that showed that they were citizens of a different kingdom. He said, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Paul told the Philippians that they should live up to what they had already attained. In other words, they should live as people who had already been granted citizenship in heaven. They should live as people whom Christ had already taken hold of. They should live as people who did not have their minds on earthly things, but on the things of heaven, where their true citizenship lay. The greatest challenge of the Christian life is to live in the world as aliens and strangers, to live in the world and yet follow the values of heaven. The reason this is such a great challenge is that we are often not aware of how much we are being influenced by the values of this world. We spend just a fraction of our time each week inside the church. The rest of the time we spend out in the world, where all kinds of forces and pressures are trying to control how we live. If we don't keep our wits about us, we can start to lose sight of where our core values are actually coming from. We can find it harder and harder to tell the difference between the values of the world and the values of the kingdom of God. And before we know it, we are in danger of buying into the world's values without even realizing it. That's what can happen with the values of the consumer society in which we live. Everywhere we turn in our society, we're told that we are consumers, that the most important thing we can do with our lives is buy things, get things, accumulate things. We're told that this is the way to happiness. Buy the product you want and you will be fulfilled. We can't avoid the fact that we live in a consumer society. But we can avoid taking on the values of our consumer society without thinking. The kingdom of God does not operate according to the values of consumer society. The kingdom of God operates according to a completely different set of values. If we are citizens of heaven, we are not consumers, we are servants of God. We are not trying to get that perfect thing that will make us happy. We are trying instead to make it our first priority to serve God. From the point of view of the world, that's an odd thing to do. It doesn't really make sense. If we do it, it certainly makes us stand out. It certainly makes us look like aliens and strangers. Being servants of God means living out the values of God's kingdom. It's not enough just to talk about those values. We have to put them into practice. There are a lot of Christian values that we can live out in our lives each day. Values such as honesty, integrity, trustworthiness, compassion, generosity, kindness. Just putting those values into practice is an important statement about where our true citizenship lies. But our heavenly citizenship is really noticeable when we follow the pattern that Jesus has set. We really show ourselves to belong to a different kingdom when we follow the pattern that our Lord himself showed us on the cross. In the area around a village called Nickel Mines in Pennsylvania, there is a community of Christians very similar to the Old Order Mennonites. These Christians belong to the group known as the Amish. In October of 2006, a number of Amish children were attending school when a man by the name of Charles Roberts broke in with a gun. In the deranged violence that followed, 10 young Amish girls were shot. 5 of them died. The shooter then turned the gun on himself. The reaction in the Amish community was profound shock and searing grief. And yet, somehow, that reaction also included forgiveness. On the day of the shooting, members of the Amish community took food to the shooter's widow. A week later, grieving families who had just buried their own children attended the gunman's funeral. Those families also asked that money from the donations that had poured in from all around the world should be redirected to the family of the killer. In the years since, the shooter's mother has become a friend to many of the families and often visits with them. According to the values of the world in which we live, there's something very strange, something very alien about all this. According to the values of the world, none of it makes sense. But according to the values of the kingdom of God, it is completely understandable. It is completely understandable because it is entirely consistent with what Jesus demonstrated in his own life. Jesus loved his enemies and forgave those who persecuted him, even as they were nailing him to the cross. If we are citizens of heaven, we will stand out. We will not just blend in. We will stand out by living in ways that show we are aliens and strangers in this world, and that our final allegiance is to our heavenly King. Let us pray. O God, remind us that our true home is with you, and that we are here on earth as ambassadors of your kingdom. By your Holy Spirit, guide us to live in ways that demonstrate where our true citizenship lies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.